In this 21st stanza that we're looking at this morning, we're going to see David's testimony concerning the peace of God. The peace of God. As we look at this together, I want us to notice, first of all, notice David's circumstances. Notice David's circumstances. In our study together last time in verse 157, in verse 157, you remember we saw last time David made the statement. He said, "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies." Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. But these were not little peons who were pestering David. These were not small enemies. Rather, they were fierce enemies who were after him. In fact, notice three things here: who they were. Who they were. It's defined for us in verse 161. He describes them as being princesses. Princesses. In other words, these were men with exalted, high positions of power. These were powerful forces that were after David. These were men of high authority that were seeking his downfall. These were the enemies that David had to deal with. And not only do we see who they were, notice letter B, notice what they did. Notice what they did. If you'll remember, we saw before, back in verse number 23, back in the beginning of this chapter, in verse number 23, David said this. He said, princesses also did sit and speak against me. They spoke against him, David said. In other words, they unfairly and they unjustly judged and condemned David for what he said, for what he did. In fact, they even judged and condemned him for what they perceived to be the motives of his heart. Let me just say to you folks, we need to be very careful when we say so-and-so did so-and-so because... You see, you're stating facts when you said this person did this. But when you add that word because, now you're going into the realm of declaring that you know what was in their heart. You know the motive. You know the reason why they did it. And the truth of the matter is, none of us knows the heart of another person. Only God knows that. But these men were unfairly, they were unjustly, they were judging David not only because of what he did, because of what he said, they were even daring to judge the motives of his heart. They were daring to judge the motives of his heart. And notice here that this was not an occasional thing. Notice in verse 161, David said, princesses have persecuted me. They have persecuted me. That word persecuted, it comes from a Hebrew word which carries the idea of chasing after and hounding continually. In other words, it was not they did it today and then tomorrow they forgot about it and they left me alone. No, these people were after David continually. They were after him day after day after day. In other words, they constantly were seeking to make his life miserable. You ever known somebody like that? Just constantly making your life miserable? That was the case that David was facing. That's the case David was facing. So we see who they were. We see what they did. But then notice letter C, why they did it. Why were they after David like this? Why were they continually hounding him and persecuting him? What was the reason for it? Well, notice it in verse 161. David said, princesses have persecuted me without a cause. Without a cause. In other words, David, knowing his own heart, David knew that these men had no good reason. They had no good reason. There was no justification for the accusations that were being brought against him. David, knowing his own heart, knew that those men had no grounds for the charges that they were bringing against him. And so David said, they've persecuted me without a cause. Without a cause. A great example of this is seen in David's relationship with King Saul. In his relationship with King Saul, David was constantly a loyal subject to King Saul. He was a man who faithfully served his king. As you read through the Old Testament history, you'll find that David served as a court musician. In fact, he was the one who was called into the king's chamber when the king was in a foul mood, when an evil spirit would come upon him, and David would come in and with the harp he would play, and as a musician he would be used to calm the king, and David was a great help. Great help to King Saul. Served as a court musician. Not only that, he served as a brave warrior. He served as a brave warrior, ending a war by killing Saul's enemy, the giant from Gath. And David, over and over, in many ways, proved himself to be a loyal subject to King Saul. But how did King Saul respond? How did King Saul respond to that? Well, you remember the story. King Saul became jealous because of David's successes. King Saul became jealous because of David's popularity. King Saul became jealous because of the great wisdom that was seen in the way David handled himself and in the way David conducted himself. And King Saul was filled with a jealous rage that was absolutely unjustifiable. There was no justification for it. There was no reason why King Saul should be jealous of David. And yet King Saul, following after that jealousy that was building in his heart, he tried to kill David on two occasions with a javelin. And then he began to hunt David and to hound David and to chase David from one end of the kingdom to the other. And the same thing will be seen in our lives as well, by the way. The same thing will be seen in our lives as well. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Notice he said, "All." That means all. Yeah, that's exactly right. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now notice it doesn't say all Christians will suffer persecution. And the reason why that is so is because there are many Christians, unfortunately, who are not living godly in Christ Jesus. They're living more like the world than they are like Christ. But if you live godly in Christ Jesus, where that you are following God's Word and you're allowing the Spirit of God to control you, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face times of trouble. You're going to face times of testing. Undeserved persecution. Undeserved persecution is a fact that we must deal with if we're going to live our life according to the Word of God. Persecution cannot be avoided if we are living as we ought to live as followers of Jesus Christ. But here's the point that I want you to get this morning. We cannot help the fact that other people are persecuting us. We cannot help that. We have no power to control that. But we do have power to control how we respond to them. That part we can help. That part we do have power to control. If someone attacks us, well, we can't help that. That's their problem. But we do have power to control how we respond to the one who attacks us. That we do have power of. And so with that in mind, notice number two, David's choice. David's choice. It's clearly stated in verse number 161. David said this, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." In other words, David said, I'm being hounded, I'm being persecuted, I've got these people who are after me, they have no reason, they have no cause to come after me the way they are. I haven't done anything to deserve the accusations that are being made against me. I've tried to be honorable, I've lived right, I've been loyal, and yet they've come after me like this, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand in awe of God's Word. Boy, how often do we respond that way? Normally, somebody comes after us, we say, well, I'll get even with you. And when we square off to fight, right? And David didn't do that. David didn't do that. Just like we've seen time after time before in our study through this book of Psalms during the time of persecution, David's choice was simply that God's Word might continually be the focus of his life. That was his choice. That God's Word might be the continual focus of his life. And because of that choice that David made, because of the choice that David made, I want you to notice that he did three things. He did three things. By the way, let me just throw in here. Everything you do in your life, you do it because of choices you have made, whether they be right or whether they be wrong. What you do is a picture, it's a result of the choice that you made sometime before. Just remember that. David made a choice. His choice was that his focus was going to be on the Word of God. And as a result of that choice, there came some actions that followed the choice. Number one, letter A. He rejoiced. He rejoiced. Notice in verse 162. In verse 162, David said, "I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil." I remember when I was a kid, I read a book one time about a treasure hunter. And you know how kids are. I immediately had the idea that in the woods that were behind our house, We lived in a kind of a new area, and there was a big pine forest kind of back behind our house, and that was my personal playground. I grew up playing in the woods. But I was convinced, after reading that book, I was convinced that in that pine forest back behind our house, I was convinced there was a buried treasure. I was convinced. Boy, I got my dad's shovel out of the storage room, and I headed for the woods, boy, and I near about dug up the whole forest. Yeah, I was looking for buried treasure. I just knew it was in there somewhere. That was my favorite dream. Boy, one day I'm gonna put that shovel and I'm gonna stab it into the ground, and when it goes in, I'm gonna hear it. It's gonna go thunk. And I'm going to dig it out, and there's going to be a wooden treasure chest. And when I open it up, there's going to be all kinds of gold coins. Whew. I still get excited just thinking about it. That's how David felt, though. That's how David felt every time he opened the Word of God. That's how David felt every time he opened the Word of God. He said, "I rejoice. I rejoice at thy word," just like someone who has found a great treasure. I rejoice at it. Why? as we've seen before several times over the past couple of weeks, back in verse 72, back in verse number 127, David said, I value God's word more than gold. I value God's word more than fine gold, say. That's why David, every time he opened up the Word of God, he opened it with a joy that was greater than someone who finds a great treasure. And it was simply because of the fact that in David's estimation, God's Word is of greater value than all the wealth that this world has to offer. He rejoiced. Because he had made the choice that the Word of God was going to be the focus of his life, every time he opened the Scriptures, he would rejoice. But there's a second thing. Not only do we see that he rejoiced, notice letter B, he prioritized. He prioritized. Verse 163, he said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Do you see the priorities there? On the one side, he has the Word of God. On the one side, he has the Word of God. On the other side, he has everything that is contrary to God's Word. God's Word is truth. Everything else is a lie. And so on the one side, he has God's Word. On the other side, he has everything else. Now we saw this before back in Psalm 104, and back in verse 104 of this Psalm, that David found that God's Word is not just true, God's Word is truth. Verse 142 and verse 151, it is the standard by which we are to judge the trueness, it's the standard by which we judge the value of everything else. Therefore, David understood that everything that does not line up with God's Word is a lie. Everything that contradicts God's Word is false. And David's determination was that I'm going to rejoice at God's Word, I'm going to hold God's Word, I'm going to make that my priority, and everything else, come second. I'm going to hate it. I'm going to abhor it. David made obedience to God's Word his top priority. If you were to list the priorities of your life this morning, what would be first? What would be first? Good job? More salary? Better relations with someone you know? What's the top priority that you would look for in your life? David said, my priority is I'm going to obey God's Word. You know, so many times we wrestle with all these other things that we make a priority, and the truth of the matter is, if we would follow David's example and make God's Word to be our priority, if we would make God's Word our priority, did you know what? All the other issues of life would just naturally fall into place. It's true. It's true. God's Word was David's priority. And so we see how that David, he rejoiced. David prioritized. But there's another thing that we find here concerning David's choice. It resulted in the fact that, letter C, he thanked. He thanked. Verse number of 164, he said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Most of us would, in our schedule and in our lifestyle that we live, we have a hard time praying once a day, don't we? Twice a day, maybe. Seven times a day? Seven times a day. David said, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God. By the way, let me just say this. We don't do this. And the reason we don't do it is not because we're more busy than King David was. That's not the reason. We're not more busy than David was. The reason we don't do it is we just don't have the priorities that David had. We don't have the priorities. And because David had a love for the Word of God, and because it was the top priority in David's life to spend time in the Word of God, it naturally followed that he spent much time every day praising God. Praising God. David faced some difficult circumstances. He faced unfair circumstances. He faced situations that were hard to deal with. And yet through all of that, he chose to react to those things in a right way. He chose to react in a right way. He chose that instead of focusing on the problems, and instead of focusing on those who were attacking him, and focusing on those who were seeking to hurt him. See, when you do that, the natural result is it makes you bitter. And bitterness is like a cancer. It doesn't hurt your enemy, it hurts you. And so David determined that instead of focusing on those that were attacking him, his priority would be to focus on the Word of God. And that was his choice. That was his determination. And because he chose to react in a right way, because he chose to react by staying focused on the Word of God, he was able to do some things that, quite frankly, seem impossible to an unsaved man or even to a carnal Christian. He was able to do those things that we've seen mentioned. But then I want you to notice, because of this choice, we also find, number three, David's confession. David's confession. As we consider his confession of faith, notice three things that David tells us about the peace that he has found. The peace that he has found. As we look at this, notice first of all, as he describes this peace, he describes, letter A, the greatness of it. The greatness of it. Verse 165, great peace. Not just peace, great peace. Great peace. In other words, it was a peace that proved to be greater than any problem. It was a peace that proved to be greater than any difficulty that might be brought into his life. It was a great peace. It was a peace that simply did not make sense in the minds of carnal, wicked men. Great peace. But then notice the source of it, letter B. The source of it. Great peace, verse 165 says, have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law. In other words, if you want to have greater peace, have a greater love for God's Word. If you want to have greater peace in your life, then spend more time in the book. This is the source. This is where you find real peace. By the way, Jesus said of this, spoke of this very same thing. Jesus spoke of this very same thing for those who put their faith and trust in Him. Listen to what Jesus said. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you. What's He talking about? The Word of God. The Word of God. And these things have I spoken unto you. Here's the reason why. That in me ye might have peace. In me ye might have peace. So the source of the peace. It's the Word of God. And then notice the result of it. The result of it. Letter C. In verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and here's the result. Almost nothing will offend them. Is that what it says? Huh? No. If that's what it says, you got the wrong version, okay? No, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Notice David did not say, notice it very carefully. David did not say that nothing would hurt them. David did not say that nothing would grieve them. David did not say that nothing would irritate them. Okay? David didn't say that. David didn't say that. What David said was that nothing would offend them. Nothing would offend them. The Hebrew word that is translated offend here is also used in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14. But in Leviticus 19:14, it is translated in a different way, which helps us to sort of have a better understanding of exactly what the word to be offended means. In Leviticus chapter 19 verse 14, here's what it says. It says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. The word offend in our text is the same Hebrew word that in Leviticus 19:14 is translated stumbling block. In other words, what David was saying is that for those who love the Word of God, they will have a great peace that will cause them to consistently be able to maintain their balance. In other words, when troubles come, when false accusations come, when attacks come from our enemies, instead of falling over those things, we'll be able to maintain our balance. We'll be able to not get blown away by it. We'll not lose our direction. We'll not lose our purpose. We'll be able to say, well, you know, they're attacking us and we're going to keep our focus on the Word of God. And we don't stumble over it. We don't stumble over it. When a man loves God's Word, he'll not be offended by the trials. He'll not be offended by the testings that God allows to come into his life. He'll maintain a proper balance. Maintain a proper direction. He'll not be offended. Not be offended. But how is that possible? Well, notice a fourth thing that we find here, and that is this. Number four, David's comments. David's comments. David makes two comments here concerning his relationship with the Word of God. And again, he's going to turn our focus back. It's going to come back to our relationship with God's Word. Our relationship with God's Word. Folks, our relationship with the Word of God, it's vital. It's vital. And so David is going to make two comments here concerning his relationship with the Word of God. First of all, letter A, he makes a comment concerning his hope. Concerning his hope. In verse 166, here's what he said. He said, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I have hoped for thy salvation. And I've done thy commandments. Charles Spurgeon said it well when he made this note concerning this text. He said, David's hope was fixed upon God, He looked to Him alone for salvation, and then he endeavored most earnestly to fulfill the commands of His law. In other words, David's hope concerning God's salvation involved two things. It involved his salvation from the penalty of his sin, and it also involved his salvation from the power of his enemies and from the power of his problems. That's what he was looking for. That was the hope that he had. And in both cases, the salvation from the penalty of sin, salvation from the power of wicked enemies, in both cases, his hope was founded in his obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. So we see his comment concerning his hope. Letter B. There's a comment that is made concerning his motives. In other words, why did he choose to obey God's word? What was the motive of his heart when it came to obeying the word of God and making God's word to be the priority of his life? Why did he make that choice? Notice two things he's going to show us here. Number one, he did it because of his love for God. He did it because of his love for God. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. Boy, that's a great statement. My soul has kept thy... I've obeyed. I've done what your word has commanded. I've kept your testimonies. But I want you to notice that this was not an obedience that came from a grudging sense of duty. It did not come from a grudging sense of duty. Rather, this was an obedience that came from an enthusiastic heart that was filled with love. Notice it, verse 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and here's the reason why. I love them exceedingly. The basis of David's obedience was his love for God and his love for the Word of God. Those two things go together. I remember every now and then, before Ginger and I were married, she would write me a note. I'm not going to tell you what it said. She'd write me a note. And she'd give it to me. And I'd go back to the dorm where I was staying, And I'd throw it up on the dresser or throw it in a drawer I'd open that thing up when I smell the perfume she put on there, you know, and I'd open that thing up and I'd read it, you know. And I read every word she wrote. You know why? Because I love her. That's why. Because I love her. That's the same attitude David had when he came to the Word of God. He wanted to read it carefully. He wanted to read it with a heart that was open. Why? He said, you know what? I love this word. Why? Because I love the one who gave it. I love the one who gave it. It's not just a book. It's God's word. And because I love God, I love what He wrote. That was the heart of David. That was the heart of David. And by the way, let me just say to you that the very same thing is true today. Our attitude toward the Bible reveals the true attitude of our heart toward God. When we don't have time to read God's Word, what we are saying to God is, God, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. And then we get all upset when we find ourselves in a tight situation and we pray and we don't understand why God doesn't have time for us. Remember, you do reap. Yeah. You do reap what you sow. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them," notice it, "he it is that loveth me." He it is that loveth me. David made a comment concerning his motive. He declared that he obeyed God's word because he loved God. God's word was the priority in his life because he loved God. But then there's a second comment that he makes here. Look at it very quickly. David made God's word the priority in his life because of his fear of God. Not only his love for God, but his fear of God motivated him. In verse 168, he said, "I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies." Why did you do it, David? Here's why. Notice it. "For all my ways are before thee." All my ways are before thee. In other words, David determined that he was going to follow God's word. He was going to make God's word a priority in his life, not only because he loved God, but also because of the fact he knew that God was watching his every action, listening to his every word, weighing his every priority. And because David understood that all of his ways are before God, and because David understood that there is coming a day when every man will stand before God to give an account, David said, "I keep your precepts. I keep your testimonies because I love you, because I fear you." Let me close this morning by making a statement. It's a very simple statement, but it's a very important statement. In fact, I shared this with the young people yesterday out at the East Coast, and I shared with them this simple statement: life is a series of choices. Bottom line, life is a series of choices. Every one of us has the power to choose how we're going to live. Every one of us has the power to choose how we're going to live. We can choose to live in obedience to God's word, or we can choose to live in disobedience to God's word. And the reason why it's so important that we choose properly is simply because of the fact that great peace, that great peace which all men desire to have, that great peace that all men are searching for today, that great peace begins. It begins with a right relationship with God and a right relationship with His Word. May God help us to love the book. May God help us to make God's Word to be our priority. That we put Him first and everything else comes second, third, whatever. But may God help us to have the right priorities and the right love and the right fear of God, that we might have that great peace that He promises to those who follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You.